Good afternoon, little owl flop. Here is the week ahead video. Yes, it's already Monday afternoon. I didn't get it done earlier. It's the holidays. Oof. But this time of year, why does it always go crazy? I just actually had to go to the grocery store and I'm like, where do all these people come from? This grocery store I go to is usually pretty quiet. I was just picking up a few bits and it was just mobbed. Anyway, it just always amazes me this time of year. It's kind of weird. So, week ahead, December the 18th. Well, I already posted my Substack blog. So, you can get the daily writing I do on my Substack blog for the day. I've also just uploaded a Capricorn ingress stroke solstice chart video. I look at the chart for the moment that the sun moves into Capricorn on the 21st here and the 22nd in the UK and other places. And just we look at the energy of the chart to give guidance for the next few weeks ahead. I find the Aries ingress to be the real biggie, kind of the astrological new year. But Capricorn, all solstices and everything are all important, of course. So anyway, check that out too. I will link to that at the end of this. But let's look at the week ahead instead of me rattling on. And before I do, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to leave me a thumbs up and a comment, and also check out my private membership community that has been reinvented. So this takes us right to Christmas Day, Christmas morning. Oh, let me take those stars out. Sorry about this. I was just looking at a couple of stars that do not need to be in there for the sake of this, because it's all too adds too much to it. But here we are, start of the week. We can see that we still have this watery grand trine and this earth grand trine. So we still have this lovely Star of David hovering over the skies, but it is earth and water, and we have no significant air placements. We have Cariclo and Hygieia in Aquarius to lighten it a tiny bit. But really, this is very dense energy with quite a significant fire, but a lot of water and earth, and including that Star of David. So that's to start with. So I'm not going to spend too long on the 8th because I did that whole thing, but you can see the moon's in Pisces, highly connected, highly emotional. I just had a lovely, actually it was a lovely session at my therapist. I did not leave in a ball of tears for a change. But anyway, one of the biggest aspects for this next 24 hours starting today is that the sun will be conjunct the galactic center, bringing in, these waves of new information from the center of our galaxy. Now, as I said on my Substack blog, the sun does connect with the galactic center every year, of course. However, I will say that I find this year particularly potent. Next year probably will be as well, because we've had a lot of energy aspecting the galactic center in 2023. A lot of 27 degrees hitting that galactic center from various places in the chart. But most significantly, Neptune. Neptune is in this ongoing square with the galactic center. Will Neptune's now direct, will square the galactic center exactly towards the end of 2024. And then in 2025, we'll leave the sign of Pisces. So S Pisces and Sagittarius are all to do with faith, belief, trust, wonder, truth and faith, truth and exploration, kind of experience, exploration of the divine and the imaginary realms and all those kind of things. So that's one of the big things today. The other thing I did mention was we have this moon in Pisces. The moon is going to conjunct Nessus, which is a revealer of generational abuse, but also the moon is coming up to square Mars, and Mars is our drive, our will, our energy. Neptune, sorry, Pisces to Mars squares, especially with the moon in Pisces and the moon approaching Neptune as well, can bring very, you might feel very, very tired by the end of today, by the time the moon actually squares Mars at 8:58 p.m. Eastern. Before that, the moon will trine Venus over here. So it's very, for want of a better word, very somatic. And we have a couple of things approaching this opposition to Uranus. So I'll talk more about that in a minute. So that's the start. Anyway, let's move into Tuesday, because I did already write about this and the day's almost over. And I want to move to the bigger aspects. So, in fact, let me move this on. So, Tuesday, December the 19th. You can see the moon now is at 19 degrees Pisces. Incidentally, dreams probably going to be off the charts Monday into Tuesday, Monday night into Tuesday morning. Uranus, this is what I was talking about. Uranus is going to oppose asteroid Lilith, talk to the hand Lilith. Venus is coming up behind. In fact, those two will be at the same degree on the solstice. And before the solstice, though, on the way to it, we have these oppositions with Uranus. And this can be quite earthquakey in lots of ways. And it could be literal. In fact, I did get an earthquake alert this morning for a 6.0 somewhere in China. But I'm going to say there's a lot of earthquakes in our deep awarenesses, a lot. I've talked a lot about trauma this year, and a lot of these things are bringing up long, long buried trauma. So, these oppositions are kind of especially for women. I felt like I am a I was going to say rampaging, but no, it's not rampaging. It's a deeply rooted, grounded feminist this week. I am going, no, you do not get to talk to or about women like that. And it's so many levels, and I'm seeing other people kind of take that stand as well. So, asteroid Lilith is the original kind of Lilith energy. She's the actual rock asteroid. I always think of asteroid Lilith as the Lilith that was made equal to Adam from the same dirt dust. And then Black Moon Lilith is the shamed, rejected Lilith, and so the two work together. But I love that it's talk to the hand. She's a bit like this rebellious teenager saying, no, that doesn't work for me. So we've got that opposition early on the 19th at 2:49 a.m. Then the sun will exactly conjunct the galactic center tomorrow. The moon will conjunct Neptune, and that's actually at 9:07 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday. So dreams, as I said, tonight, amazing. And then into tomorrow morning, Uranus will be trined by Juno as well. So we've got this dance here of that rise of the divine feminine that's definitely happening, and yes, there is the resistance. But then at 1:39 p.m. tomorrow, the moon moves towards the end of Pisces, and we have the first quarter moon at 27 degrees, 35 minutes. Pisces to Sagittarius, with the sun still conjunct the galactic center. That is one powerful first quarter moon, bearing in mind what I said about Sagittarius and Pisces being very much about faith, belief, wonder, what's true, revealing truths, revealing new truths. That's an amazingly powerful first quarter moon. Then at 4:03 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, the moon will finish up in the sign of Pisces with a sextile to Pluto. And at that point, Pluto will be at 28 degrees 59 minutes of Capricorn and will never be at that degree again in our lifetimes because the moon Pluto is about to move to the 29th degree. So we're nearly done with Pluto and Capricorn. And then 5:46 p.m. on Tuesday, the moon will move into Aries and we get a little bit of a bit more drive, but we've still got no significant air until the moon gets round to Gemini. This is till the sun moves into Aquarius on January the 20th. We have got no significant air except when the moon is in the signs, the air signs, Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. So it can make communication hard as well as Mercury being retrograde, but it can make our thinking processes a bit muddy. But also, it's almost like we're kind of thinking with and processing ideas right in our body, not up here in our head, which is kind of quite a good thing to do sometimes. After the moon moves into Aries, it will square Vesta, which is focus, commitment, devotion. And then the only other significant aspect on the 19th is that Ceres over here will come and make a lovely sextile to Chariclo, the space holder. Ceres, writing my book about her, this is about nurturing our beliefs, nurturing our truth, nourishing our a sense of exploration and freedom in Sagittarius. And Chariclo is kind of holding space for that. And again, I think it's got that very feminist vibe, to, for want of another way of putting it. So 20th. Now, you know, just as it shows up on the news, of course, we've got this all this abortion and women's healthcare issue in the US. Now, you know, of course, I'm seeing a lot of wringing hands, and it's terrible, you know, like for that poor woman in Texas who was denied an abortion and had to leave the state. Then there's another woman who miscarried and was actually charged with something. There's definitely horrors happening. However, I really feel like, you know, these moves to encode women's right for abortion choice into state constitutions is going to have a big move, a big thing. And it's also going to push people to vote, I think, as well. All right, so on to the 20th. We start early in very early on Wednesday, the 20th, with the Aries moon over here square to Mercury. So we've had just had that first quarter moon. And then we'll square Mercury, retrograde Mercury, revisiting ideas. Then Vesta. Vesta actually moves back into the sign of Gemini, really breaking up this Star of David. It's kind of done with that at 5:06 a.m. when Vesta moves, retrogrades back into the sign of Gemini. And then there's not many other really big aspects till very late on the 20th when the moon conjuncts Chiron. Now, I was, oh, I need to, what's her name? My poet friend, Shalan, she's been on, Shalan Harkin. She actually posted a Rumi, quote that I want to read to you. The cure for the pain is in the pain. All right. Now then, she got a bit of flack for that, saying some things are never cured and things. But I always think of that filling it with gold, kintsugi, or however you say it. On and also, it's kind of a really the word cure. If you look it up, the original meaning was actually relief. It did not mean get rid of completely. It means some relief. And I really think the cure for the pain is in the pain, is that by facing it and kind of addressing what charge it has for you emotionally, and then working on calming that response and reaction and fight, freeze, flight, all that kind of energy response. I think then the wound Chiron becomes the key to healing, okay, becomes the cure. It's almost like curing ham as well, curing bacon. It kind of just like seals it. Curing is kind of like sealing it up with that gold and saying it cannot destroy you anymore. It doesn't change that it happened. Of course, things happen. But anyway, that's how I see that. So the moon's going to conjunct Chiron late on the 20th. Then we move to the 21st, which is actually the late on the 21st. We have the solstice here, and it's the 22nd in most parts of the world. So in the US, it's late on the 21st, but we start the 21st with Venus opposing Uranus. Now, that is really earthquakey, but it's also like Uranus kind of shocks us awake. And if you think about all this energy, we've got asteroid Lilith, Venus, and Pallas Athena in the sign of Scorpio, which is the realm of manipulation and power and obsession and deeply bonded relationships. But it's also a very fertile place of growth. But Scorpio tends to hang on to things, cling with fingernails. And then Uranus has none of that. Uranus faces this and says, "You are here, look at this. You know, I'm going to rock your world and then we are going to change and move on." This is kind of how Uranus feels to me with this opposition. So it's a pretty powerful opposition to Uranus, not least of which as well is because these two, Venus and asteroid Lilith and Uranus, are in square to 20 Leo, which was the new Venus star point cycle that began on August the 13th, 2023. So it's activating a lot that we've been working on since August, right? Okay, since that retrograde. Okay, so we can see that the moon is still in Aries and the moon comes up and trines Mars. So we got a bit more nice, a bit more fire, a bit more drive, a little bit more get up and go. Still nowhere, but the fire's really going to help kind of creating creation and passion. And then Mercury comes back and sextiles Saturn. So we're revisiting something then from when Mercury sextiled Saturn before. But this is getting some clarity around some of our limiting beliefs and blocks. Okay, Saturn rules the sign that Mercury's in. Saturn in Pisces is generally about releasing a lot of these limiting beliefs and knowing that we can really kind of build what we choose to build in, you know, and to a degree. But also, you know, limiting beliefs are those beliefs where we really think we can't, where we're kind of self-limiting ourselves. All right. Then Mercury, the moon, will come up and conjunct the North Node and conjunct Eris. That's always giving a good shake-up. And we can see that Pluto is now at the 29th degree, never going to go back to the 28th degree. Pluto is going to be at that 29th degree till he moves into Aquarius in 2024, and then we'll retrograde back to this degree for just 2 months, September to November, before finally moving into Aquarius for good in our lifetimes. And this is the aneretic degree. This is a critical degree. So things are going to be coming to a head. It's liminal. We feel changes coming, but we've still got to mop up and finish up. It's a very tense degree, the aneretic degree. So all this time at the 29th degree, Well, I mean, luckily he's moving pretty fast at the moment. So, he's not going to be there that long. We'll get about 3 more months of in total of Pluto in Capricorn. All right, what else happens on the Monday? I'm not gonna. The moon will come up and square Pluto at that anaretic degree. So that's a bit tense right on the solstice before the change comes. Because right after the moon squares Pluto, the moon moves into the sign of Taurus. And if you watch the solstice video, the moon is at zero Taurus when the sun enters Capricorn. We've got this lovely Earth trine. So the moon enters the sign of Taurus at 9:50 p.m. on the 21st Eastern. So, and then the sun enters Capricorn at 10:27 p.m. Eastern. So you can see why it's the next day for most of you in the world. All right, so let's move to the 22nd. And then this is the first full day of Capricorn season. They can see the moon is there in Capricorn. The light starts to return in the north. Things get a bit more serious, but also we've got, this Saturnalia. And Saturn is in Pisces, which can be associated with kind of escapism and kind of dreams and parties and so on. So, it could be quite a merry Saturnalia, if you like. But I'll let you watch the solstice video if you want, like, all the details about this on the 22nd. But then on the 22nd, we actually have the Mercury Kazemi, retrograde Kazemi, which means that Mercury is sitting in the throne of the king, the very or the queen, whichever you want to call it. And so this is, the Kazemi at zero Capricorn is a very powerful one because zero is the Alpha Omega, it's the Fool in the Tarot, it's all those things. And I didn't read these for the Capricorn in Ingress, but I do want to read the John Sandbach's Chandra symbol for that very first degree of Capricorn, because having a Kazemi at that as well, really on the same day as the sun moves into it, is a big deal. So the Chandra symbol is one we've had quite often, or I've had quite often, but it's a canopy bed with curtains. So if you think about that, this is kind of a private place in which to dream and retreat from the world. It's a very introverted symbol. So it's at that new beginning, that 0 degree, that fool's degree. We're about to take a leap into the unknown. But this is a call to really go within. And Mercury retrograde is all in a game as well. So this has a deep rooting within, which supports us holding fast to ourselves. Okay. This is to build up really spiritual fortitude. And I do want to read some of the other symbols he had for that Kazemi as well. So the Omega symbol is a man mesmerized as he reads words glowing with light. It's kind of like we're seeing in the dark here. We are seeing into the probably the dark within ourselves to read some very mesmerizing words that we need to know. But the Pleiadian symbol, which is the re-channeled Sabian symbol, is the king of an unknown land sends a letter to the known world. I find that one very, very interesting. Okay. Because we are kind of entering the unknown world, the unknown lands, but it's kind of the lands that are at the second attention. It's the lands where we go to in meditation. It's the lands where we go to in shamanic journey work and kind of magic and wizardry. It's those realms where things are Not quite known, like Alice in Wonderland and through the looking glass. Okay, so anyway, you get the idea. So let's have a quick look at the actual Sabian symbol. We read the king one, and it's an Indian chief demanding recognition is the first degree of Capricorn. And to my mind, that kind of means the return of some of the indigenous ways, the ways we've lost. Okay. And we must listen to this letter, this voice that's coming out. Wow, that's kind of deep. All right. Okay, so we have that Kazemi. It's at 1:54 p.m. exactly. It will begin a few hours before. I'll put the actual times in my Substack blog. But if we can see at the very start of the day, the two are 20 a degree and 24 minutes apart. So they're going to get together very fast. It's going to be quite a short Kazemi. So the exact time is 1:54 p.m. Eastern. So that would be 11:54 for me. So it's going to be mostly during the working hours for me next Friday. So I'll give times in my Substack blog. And then Mercury reaches the closest point to Earth, and then we'll move on to Saturday. What day is it? Christmas. Oh my goodness. Again. And then Mercury will move back into Sagittarius at 1:17 a.m. on the 3rd, on the 23rd, and we'll retrace those steps back to 22 Sagittarius about thinking about what we believe, what we what's true, all that kind of stuff. And then we've got the moon in Taurus. I missed the moon conjunct Jupiter, that was on the Friday. On the Saturday, the moon will come up and conjunct Uranus and oppose Venus and asteroid Lilith. More earthquakes of all kinds, earthquakes of a awakening. You can like feel the earthquake maybe in your body, perhaps. Wow. And Mercury, when moves back into Sagittarius, will oppose focus and commitment asteroid Vesta, saying it's time to focus on what's true for you, what you think, trying to bring your attention to it. We got a lot of cards around that for the solstice one as well. Yep, on to Christmas Eve and then Christmas morning, and then we'll be done till next week. All right, so on Christmas Eve, the moon will come up and will trine Pluto and conjunct Sedna. So we've got this Pluto-Sedna trine that's happening again, big cycles of change. But you know, when the moon trines Pluto, you know, kind of, you know, we'll probably have a little bit of a little dip, you know, on Christmas Eve in into those shadows. But then the moon enters Gemini at 3:14 a.m. on Christmas Eve, and that's a nice moon to get for the actual holiday. Even if you don't celebrate Christmas, most people have the day off work. But Gemini is a very social sign. It's some suddenly we've got some air again. Remember, I said we've got no significant air until the moon's in the air signs. So the moon moves into the sign of Gemini at 3:14 a.m. on Christmas Eve, and will be in the sign of Gemini until Boxing Day, which is December the 26th at 10:15 a.m. So for all of Christmas Eve, pretty much, and all of Christmas Day, we've got the moon in Gemini. We'll be able to go, please, breathe, chat, have some fun, lighten things up a bit. There's not a huge amount of significant aspects on a Christmas Eve. The moon will square Saturn, so you know, you might get a little bit of a bit of a heavy feeling early in the morning, but not too much at all. Then for the rest of the day, the moon is pretty, apart from some minor aspects, it's pretty much floating in the void. So it's a very sociable, free day. So I hope you've got some fun plans for Christmas Eve. And then into Christmas morning. Okay, here we are. We wake up Christmas morning. There's the moon in Gemini opposing Ceres. And that's kind of quite a nice aspect to wake up to at 12:41 Gemini Sagittarius. Conjunct my moon, my Gemini moon. Oh, this is really about, looking around you and going, what partnerships matter to me? What is true for me? What do I really understand? You'll probably look around at the ones, hopefully you've chosen to spend the day with people that really matter to you, and you kind of look at them and you go, this is what really counts. This is what it feels like to me. So that's the moon opposing Ceres. You can go, this is what fills my needs. But another beautiful aspect for Christmas Day is Venus in Scorpio trine to Neptune. Rose-colored glasses, Venus, Neptune, deeply emotional. You might find yourself kind of just going, oh, how much do I love you? It's a trine, it's supportive. You'll look at people and everything will feel quite magical. You might also imbibe a little bit on Christmas Day with that aspect. Venus trine Neptune is exact at 12:15 p.m. on Christmas Day, but Eastern, but really it's kind of there all day. That's a nice Christmas day. The moon does oppose Mars at 9:08 in the evening. That can cause a little bit of friction, a little bit of sharp words, or direct speaking if you choose, depending which you might just kind of make a real strong declaration. Doesn't have to be. Mars doesn't have to be aggressive. It can just be direct and assertive. And in Sagittarius, speaks truth to power. Okay, so that's Christmas Day, and I've kind of gone a bit further than I intended, but that's okay. That's the week ahead. Have a beautiful week, and I will record the what next week one on Christmas Eve to take you past and through to the new year. Much love.